is their only reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when I'm with them, I try, okay, I'll forget about what goes up here, pretend like you're like these people. And if I hadn't been here, and I was like them, only exposed to their reality, there's no way. This does not exist. Mr. Coleman's information is not real. It's nowhere. Their reality, it's only the comfort, the TV, what is, their consciousness is...
Yes, no.
She's right.
Or look at our challenge.
One man I work with says, don't you dare bring those anti-Semitic, anti-government papers. Now, if I could have reached him, he has connections in the state of California through his father. I mean, he would have been a good sort. Now, every once in a while, I said, I'm going to Hantropy today, Jim. He says, oh, well, they need to make the mortgage payment. I said, Jim, I don't pay anything to go up there and hear what's said. I said, why don't you come along? And he says, you're crazy, Ellen. and I keep hoping, though, I still try to get a sentence in every once in a while. He sells real estate. He sells, it, oddly enough, he and his father sell large parcels of land in California to people who are making their space for whatever's going to happen, to store away their food and have their water. He is doing, without knowledge, exactly what we've been warned people need to do to be safe. and yet, he will not acknowledge. Now, when things start totally falling apart, I'll say, see, Jim, I told you, you wouldn't listen. But then it will be, I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know what we can do. We were at the UFO thing in San Diego last night. My friend Mona Percy is speaking tomorrow. And I go around the bush and make a little comment about, you know, the Phoenix Journal, et cetera. And somebody will say, oh, they're very political. Well, we don't agree with that at all. And I don't know anything about it. I can't believe. Well, I mean, I can't. When I grew up, I thought my grandmother was, and they were the daughter of the American Revolution, and Bill Percy, they marched down the streets for women's rights to vote. How can we salvage this country when the conscience of the people is so incredibly low?
Awesome. You'll come to the time in the evolvement of man when you won't. Most of the ones will not be salvaged. And that is not your burden to carry on your soul. All you need to do is offer. It is their responsibility to either accept or deny. Try not to make them deny to the point that they cannot come back and say, oops, you were right. Now what can I do? And then you just give them a shovel and tell them to start digging. You don't give them a lecture on how naughty of you. You have to be giving, you have to be allowing, and you have to release. I'm telling you again, the planet was made for 500 million people. All but that number is fully intended to be annihilated. You, by all the wishing that you wish to do, will not stop it. It's already underway. They are killing ones by the millions. They will do it with a worse virus. They will do it with anthrax. They will do it with AIDS. And they will do it with war. It's going to happen. Because it's the way they have planned it, and you did not rise up in time to stop it, to allow the removal of those entities to other safe haven. Even though you erred in your practices, and now they've got you even more cornered, they demand your right for abortion, so they can stop the lighted beings from coming on board. Don't underestimate God. But don't you go with fantastic dreams of saving everyone on the globe. It is not your business. You do what you can. you point out the similarities of what is happening, and you don't get into a quarrel about Space Command or God, or that's all you're going to have. You're going to get into a quarrel over doctrine. Either God is or God isn't. There isn't anything to quarrel about. Either space is, space man, space brother. If you believe in any Messiah coming, listen to me. Hear what I say. The ones who denied the Christed one you worship still expects that Messiah. That indicates, my friends, that they know there's something somewhere, and if it ain't on this place, it is extraterrestrial. It is one or the other. It's like pregnancy. You are or you're not. Period.
No period.
Touché. You noted it was a female who put the male down.
Unless, of course, you've been to see Dr. Cecil Jacobson.
Thank you, John.
He created pregnancies out of fresh air.
Commander?
For a little contribution.
I have a question, please.
Please.
Regarding the Messiah and the Israelis, on the news Thursday, I saw Israel had a lot of banners around the Messiah's coming spread by Rabbi Schneerson of the Lubavitch movement, who you mentioned before. Can you tell me if that's any part of their trying to get a holy war going?
Oh, absolutely. It fits in there, see, with the timing. But there aren't enough of them going to accept that one as the Messiah. It's going to fall on its face like Elroy did.
Commander Hatton, may I comment?
Please.
Children, I have had the wonderful honor of serving Mother Earth as a geologist, and I now have the honor of serving the children as a teacher. This has been something recent and very weird because everybody's becoming unemployed and I became employed. And I now teach first and second grade combination bilingual class. And we had several very interesting discussions. One was a discussion amongst two children that you could not draw, could not represent infinity, and they were not supposed to be talking, and I listened to what they were saying, and I said, excuse me, how many children would like to discuss infinity for a few moments? And everybody raised their hand. And I said, well, there was a discussion whether you could not represent infinity, and I believe I can clarify that discussion, and everybody sat up very attentively, and I drew the symbol for infinity on them, and everybody drew in a breath, and there was a suspense, and everybody was excited. So we discussed infinity for a moment, and then we went back to our work, and I was very overwhelmed and very excited about these questions because we are dealing with 6, 7, 8-year-olds, and they're discussing these things. Later on that week or that month, another discussion came about, and it was regarding God, and I stopped the class and I asked, well, how many of you believe in God? And everybody, except maybe one or two, raised their hand. And I was very overwhelmed also because I was not expecting that type of response from the children. And I bring this to light because we always focus very much and hear very much on all the darkness and all the doom and gloom, and now I understand why they have called me the rebel without a cause, and now I found my cause. Now I understand why I'm a rebel, because I refuse to give up what we are all in this room trying to do. So I wanted to bring that.
Thank you, because everybody can get pretty buried in this, and it seems impossible. And the children, you must remember, are your teachers, they're your leaders, they're the ones that will take you home. This is why you must guard them. And it's not a society structured to serve the children. And they become such spoiled little brats that you don't want to. Because the discipline, the parents don't know what to do with them. And yet something makes the adult wish to have the child. I believe they think it is some kind of a possession that makes them whole. And without them, they're not whole. But it is the meeting of the responsibility of that child and its nurturing that makes the journey worthy or total failure. And the children have a great purpose here, and therefore the thrust has had to be made against the children to teach them not to believe what they are birth knowing.
Mm-hmm. Tom, may I share a story?
Please.
When George and I went to Wisconsin this last time, we had quite a few delays getting there, and I was sitting next to a guy who I found out later was a Catholic, and we were talking about all the politics, everything. He seemed to be very open-minded, and we talked a little bit about my spiritual feelings, and then he asked me towards the end, when we were about to deplane, he said, "Well, what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now?" And it just came out, and I said, "I see myself working with children." And he said, "Well, but the parents will have to agree if you're talking about spirituality and things like that." And I said, "They won't have parents." And it just came out like that. And I was just, when I said it, I was like, my heart sunk, you know, like, oh my God, they won't have parents. It wasn't like my voice. So I think that was kind of a, I think you get the idea.
Yeah. It's the realization, mm-hmm. And it's hard. And know that you'll give them strength enough to handle it.
Commander?
Yes.
Unless it would take too much of our time, do you think you could go in just a little bit about what they did to us in Vietnam when they sent us over there and the microchips they implanted in us and what they were trying to do with us, the soldiers?
It was a massive... Well, I mean, you've got a situation where that was another drug war. And this was also an opportunity for the mind controllers out of the Tavistock and... Well, the mind controllers. John would do better than I at explaining those earthly type details. But it was an experiment of the most heinous kind. Each one being trained and then each one being implanted. And you see, this is why God is separated. This is why you're going to have separation of, they call it church, but it's really separation of God and man, church and state, so that you will not rely on that elusive, vaporous, invisible being. And that alone causes confusion into the individual. And literally, with a pulsed beam system, and especially if you have all receivers triggered to receive, you're going to create mass actions, individual atrocities, and ones will not even know what they did when they come out. It will be like, I didn't do it, I watched it, I experienced it, I couldn't stop it, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't. And this was more massive. It began in the Korean War, and then it was more massive because you see you had a societal structure of mind control in the ones who went into the war. And you were just a great big experiment. They also gave you drugs. And you're still reaping. Your children who were in that as the victims and those precious ones in Vietnam who never knew cancer are dying from the defoliants poured on that place. And the soul cannot bear that responsibility. It rebels. It pukes it up. And this was, you know, one of the most heinous of all American efforts to totally control. John, would you like to add to that? Because it really is important. And there are a bunch of you out there.
Well, first of all, the war was designed not to be won. That's the number one premise from which we've got to start. The war was, Vietnam was a rat hole down which the lives of 55,000 men were poured, plus billions and billions of dollars. And one of the strategic objectives of the Vietnam War was to keep the money from going into space exploration, which it was intended for. It was also one vast mass experiment of mind control, psychological warfare. There were experiments carried out in the Vietnam War which even today people with a lot of experience in these things cannot understand exactly how they were done. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Jacob's Ladder. That is one of the most factual, most clear demonstrations of what was done to our men in Vietnam. Now they were turned around and given a drug which made them attack their fellow soldiers. They saw these soldiers as the enemy coming at them, and they began to kill each other. And this didn't happen once, it happened hundreds of times. That was one experiment. Another experiment was used from long distance mind control, mind interference beams being beamed against these men, which would cause them to do the weirdest things. Some of them would sit down in the middle of a battle and think they were having a, back in the days when they were having a Sunday school picnic or a 4th of July picnic. And these Vietnamese soldiers would just overrun positions. There were beams beamed down from aircraft, command aircraft centers overhead, beamed against our own soldiers to so confuse them that they wouldn't know from which direction the enemy was coming, and they'd all get killed. So the thrust of the Vietnam War was first of all to consume millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars, intended for space exploration, developing our knowledge of space. The second thing was to induce drug usage in our forces, and I'll come to that in a moment. The third thing was to conduct vast experiments on captive audiences. Our soldiers were captive audiences. And this was begun by Major General John Rawlings Rees. And his first experiments with Tavistock were carried out where he had 80,000 British soldiers under this type of control. And what the Vietnam War was, the psychological warfare practiced on our own people, was simply an extension of the experiments carried out by Major General John Rawlings Rees at the Tavistock Institute, where 80,000 British soldiers were used as guinea pigs for this very type of experiment, which they then refined, which the CIA took up and continued. In this situation of desperation, many of the soldiers turned to drugs. And Chow Yun Lai, in a conversation with Gamal Abdel Nasser in Egypt, which was reported by the Al-Ahram Egyptian newspaper, a very, very reliable journal, Chow Yun Lai said, "We are doing to the Americans what the British did to us in the days of the British East India Company, where they turned our people into a nation of drug addicts. We are going to turn the American nation into a drug agent, to a drug situation, where they become totally addicted to it. And we are going to use your soldiers in Vietnam to be the vehicle to carry this disease back to America." Pardon me. And those are the threefold aspects of the Vietnam War. Thank you.
You also have a situation in play here where, while you were busy, preoccupied in that war, Russia never slowed up one iota. And they surpassed you in space, and there is nothing that you have that can match anything that they have. And that's what keeps your world in one piece at this particular time. This is why they are talking right now about going to war against Space Command. What they really mean is they think they've got some sophisticated enough equipment to go to war against those cosmospheres. They don't. But they're right out there ready to do it any moment. That probably is the most important war pending at this very moment. Because when they decide, when this elite bunch decides to attack the cosmospheres, you see, they are not under the command of this elite bunch of Yeltsin nitwits. I don't know anything nice to call this energy. And be very, very careful. Yeltsin is coming to the United States and a very major, major operation is planned while he's out of the country. I'm not at liberty, neither is John, to even share with you even the beginnings of what is known. The point is not to bring down the house upon your head. The point is to allow you enough insight to realize that these things are happening, that they did happen, so that you can understand enough. You are not victims to them unless you choose to be. This is why knowledge and enlightenment, awakening the people, will put a stop to it. They cannot manipulate you if you know they're trying, because you will know how to counter it. It's the most unhappy, incredibly miserable planet in all of the universe that I travel. You've heard ones describe it in the spiritual communities as being dark. It is absolutely one of the most incredibly gifted and beautiful places ever created. And it radiates practically no light. Well, I want to tell you, your sister planet does. And that's where you are. But you have to make that transition. You have to make that transition. The place is ready and waiting, and it is absolutely incredible. You can go back to the Garden of Eden in perception, or you can go back to the cave. That's man's choice. And you've made your choice. All you want to know is what to do. And then again, I have to say, let it unfold. Let it unfold. It's not for everyone to hear. And some who come and just offer their hand have made their contribution.
What is our sister planet?
I'm not going to go into it, John.
I never heard that referred to.
Well, you've heard of parallel planet. Of
yeah,
course
but
you
I
have.
Thought it was somebody's big story.
God never leaves it unattended. You see, I've talked about migrations. These are the things I get lonely to speak about. I don't want to talk about war. I don't want to talk about gray aliens. I don't want to talk about Yeltsin. I hate talking about Bush. These are negative discussions. And yet, that's like saying, I have a business and I'm not selling anything. What's wrong? And then refusing to look. You have to know what's wrong. You were told when God left the place that a place would be prepared. A place is prepared. And you're back to make this transition because man is blind. And God always gives opportunity for final choices. And that's not your business. If you do your job, that's all that's expected. If the word is available, you cannot cram it down another's throat. You will only make him angry and he will back off, and then you have lost him really. And on that, you might bear a little guilty conscience. So let it go. A remnant will go through. You have to do something while you're waiting to serve at the light post on eviction day. So you must continue in your action wherever you see capability of acting. But you must be patient, lest you push the river and it only overflows its bounds and floods and slows. Allow it to unfold. If you ask with sincerity from within, it will unfold. It may not seem like it. But Terry and Cindy are here. That's a step, isn't it? That's a step. And the rest will be clear.
Can I add one small thing to the Vietnam saga? When the Committee of 300 felt the experiments weren't completed and they needed to go on, Ho Chi Minh was actually dying of a heart problem. The United States of America, through the CIA, sent three of the top American heart specialists to Vietnam, and they prolonged this man's life by, I don't know how many years, probably 10 years, maybe more. That's the kind of duplicity that has enveloped this nation. We actually kept this evil creature alive for years after he should have been dead. That's why today, when you see pictures of these men going to the memorial in Washington, and you see some of them weeping uncontrollably, they are not only weeping about their comrades in arms who they saw shot to pieces, and believe me, these things stay on your mind forever. They're also weeping because they've come to the realization that they were hoodwinked, that many of them were used as pawns in the game, as dupes. And that shocking realization that they were betrayed by their own country and used in such a despicable manner causes such an agony of soul that these men stand there openly weeping at this wall of, which is a monument to the dead, but actually a wall of shame for what has been done to this country through the Committee of 300. Thank you.
John, can I ask you a question on that? Did they mess with our memories so that we can't even
sure
that our memories of our experiences
are accurate?
That's exactly
what they did. Now, in Jacob's letter, which, by the way, was taken from confidential CIA documents that were obtained under the Freedom of Information Act, and even though they were heavily blacked out, the man who did that movie, he kept on having flashes of what had really happened to him. And he couldn't believe it. He was having nightmares all night long and all day long. He lived a living nightmare for 6 months. Until he went to a psychiatrist and said, look, I'm really at my wit's end. What shall I do about this? And the psychiatrist listened to him. And the first thing he did was phone the Defense Department, because he was one of those people who'd been in this experiment. And he said, this man is breaking free from what we've conditioned him to believe, and he's beginning to come to the reality of what actually happened. They sent a whole team of people to try and kill him.
Oh, no.
Total Recall.
Well, I haven't seen that, but I would advise anybody who really wants to see what happened in Vietnam to see Jacob's Ladder. Jacob's Ladder is like the Kennedy movie. It is extremely factual.
Excuse me, where did McNamara fit in on that picture?
Well, McNamara was always a tool of the one world government. McNamara is a Satanist, a Luciferian. He ran the Luciferian Trust, which was an organization for demon worship, and that was set up in a Christian church called the Church of St. John the Divine, run by Bishop Paul Moore on Long Island in New York.
I went to school with him, that's why I'm trying to find out.
When they were in Cali, when people like myself and others expose this racket, they very quickly changed the name from the Luciferian Trust to the Lucius Trust.
Yeah, the Lucius Trust.
Right. But originally it was the Luciferian Trust.
Thank you.
Let me suggest something. You see, each one of you have had your own experiences, and we talk about a specific group, a specific war, a specific experiment. Ones coming out of a war are no different.
Is their only reality. And I find when I'm with them, I try, okay, I'll forget about what goes up here, pretend like you're like these people. And if I hadn't been here, and I was like them, only exposed to their reality, there's no way. This does not exist. Mr. Coleman's information is not real. It's nowhere. Their reality, it's only the comfort, the TV, what is their consciousness is
Built.
She's right.
Well, look at our challenge.
You dare bring those anti-Semitic, anti-government papers. Now, if I could have reached him, he has connections in the state of California through his father. And he would have been a good sort. Now, every once in a while, I said, I'm going to Hatchery today, Jim. He says, oh, what do they need to make the mortgage payment? I said, Jim, I don't pay anything to go up there and hear what's said. I said, why don't you come along? And he says, you're crazy, Ellen. and I keep hoping, though, I still try to get a sentence in every once in a while. I mean, he sells real estate. He sells it, oddly enough, he and his father sell large parcels of land in California to people who are making their space for whatever's going to happen, to store away their food and have their water. He is doing, without knowledge, exactly what we've been warned people need to do to be safe. and yet, he will not acknowledge. Now, when things start totally falling apart, I'll say, see, Jim, I told you, you wouldn't listen. But then it will be, I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know what we can do. We were at the UFO thing in San Diego last night. My friend Mona Percy is speaking tomorrow. And I go around the booth and make a little comment about, you know, the Phoenix journals, etc. And somebody will say, oh, they're very political. Well, we don't agree with that at all. And I don't know anything about it. And I can't believe. Well, I mean, I can't. When I grew up, I thought my grandmother was the daughter of the American Revolution, a real person out there, marched down the streets for women's rights to vote. How can we salvage this country when the conscience of the people is so incredibly low?
Awesome. You'll come to the time in the evolvement of man when you won't. Most of the ones will not be salvaged. And that is not your burden to carry on your soul. All you need to do is offer. It is their responsibility to either accept or deny. Try not to make them deny to the point that they cannot come back and say, oops, you were right. Now what can I do? And then you just give them a shovel and tell them to start digging. You don't give them a lecture on how naughty are you. You have to be giving, you have to be allowing, and you have to release. I'm telling you again, the planet was made for 500 million people. All but that number is fully intended to be annihilated. You, by all the wishing that you wish to do, will not stop it. It's already underway. They are killing ones by the millions. They will do it with a worse virus. They will do it with anthrax. They will do it with AIDS. And they will do it with war. It's going to happen. Because it's the way they have planned it, and you did not rise up in time to stop it, to allow the removal of those entities to other safe haven. Even though you erred in your practices, and now they've got you even more cornered, they demand your right for abortion so they can stop the lighted beings from coming on board. Don't underestimate God. But don't you go with fantastic dreams of saving everyone on the globe. It is not your business. You do what you can. You point out the similarities of what is happening, and you don't get into a quarrel about Space Command or God, or that's all you're going to have. You're going to get into a quarrel over doctrine. Either God is or God isn't. There isn't anything to quarrel about. Either space is space man, space brother. If you believe in any Messiah coming, listen to me. Hear what I say. The ones who denied the Christed one you worship still expects that Messiah. That indicates, my friends, that they know there's something somewhere, and if it ain't on this place, it is extraterrestrial. It is one or the other. It's like pregnancy. You are or you're not. Period. Touché. You note it was a female who put the male down.
Different perspective. Unless, of course, you've been to see Dr. Cecil Jacobson.
Thank you, John.
He created pregnancies out of fresh air.
Commander?
For a little contribution.
I have a question, exactly. Please.
Please.
Regarding the Messiah and the Israelis, on the news Thursday, I saw Israel had a lot of banners around the Messiah's coming spread by Rabbi Schneerson of the Lubavitch movement, who you mentioned before. Can you tell me if that's any part of their trying to get a holy war going?
Oh, absolutely. It fits in there, see, with the timing. But there aren't enough of them going to accept that one as the Messiah. It's going to fall on its face like Elroy did.
Commander Hatton, may I comment on
please.
Children? I have had the wonderful honor of serving Mother Earth as a geologist, and I now have the honor of serving the children as a teacher. This has been something recent and very weird because everybody's becoming unemployed and I became employed. And I now teach first and second grade combination bilingual class. And we had several very interesting discussions. One was a discussion amongst two children that you could not draw, could not represent infinity, and they were not supposed to be talking, and I listened to what they were saying, and I said, excuse me, how many children would like to discuss infinity for a few moments? And everybody raised their hand. And I said, well, there was a discussion whether you could not represent infinity, and I believe I can clarify that discussion. And everybody sat up very attentively, and I drew the symbol for infinity on them, and everybody drew in a breath, and there was a suspense, and everybody was excited. So we discussed infinity for a moment, and then we went back to our work, and I was very overwhelmed and very excited about these questions, because we are dealing with 6, 7, 8-year-olds, and they're discussing these things. Later on that week or that month, another discussion came about, and it was regarding God, and I stopped the class and I asked, well, how many of you believe in God? And everybody, except maybe one or two, raised their hand. And I was very overwhelmed also, because I was not expecting that type of response from the children. And I bring this to light because we always focus very much and hear very much on all the darkness and all the doom and gloom, and now I understand why they have called me the rebel without a cause, and now I found my cause. Now I understand why I'm a rebel, because I refuse to give up what we are all in this room trying to do. So I wanted to bring that.
Thank you, because everybody can get pretty buried in this, and it seems impossible. And the children, you must remember, are your teachers, they're your leaders, they're the ones that will take you home. This is why you must guard them. And it's not a society structured to serve the children, and they become such spoiled little brats that you don't want to. Because the discipline, the parents don't know what to do with them. And yet something makes the adult wish to have the child. I believe they think it is some kind of a possession that makes them whole. And without them, they're not whole. But it is the meeting of the responsibility of that child and its nurturing that makes the journey worthy or total failure. And the children have a great purpose here, and therefore the thrust has had to be made against the children to teach them not to believe what they are birthed knowing.
Mm-hmm. Tom, may I share a story?
Please.
When George and I went to Wisconsin this last time, we had quite a few delays getting there. And I was sitting next to a guy who I found out later was a Catholic. And we were talking about all the politics, everything. He seemed to be very open-minded. And we talked a little bit about my spiritual feelings, and then he asked me towards the end, when we were about to deplane, he said, well, what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? And it just came out, and I said, I see myself working with children. And he said, well, but the parents will have to agree if you're talking about spirituality and things like that. And I said, they won't have parents. And it just came out like that. And I was just, when I said it, I was like, my heart sunk, you know, like, oh my God, they won't have parents. It was like, it wasn't like my voice. So I think that was kind of a, well, I think you get the idea.
Yeah.
It's the realization. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. And know that you'll give them strength enough to handle it.
Commander?
Yes.
Unless it would take too much of our time, do you think you could go in just a little bit about what they did to us in Vietnam, when they sent us over there, and the microchips they implanted in us, and what they were trying to do with us, the soldiers?
It was a massive, well, I mean, you've got a situation where that was another drug war. And this was also an opportunity for the mind controllers out of the Tavistock and... Well, the mind controllers. John would do better than I at explaining those earthly type details. But it was an experiment of the most heinous kind. Each one being trained and then each one being implanted And you see, this is why God is separated. This is why you're going to have separation of, they call it church, but it's really separation of God and man, church and state, so that you will not rely on that elusive, vaporous, invisible being. And that alone causes confusion into the individual. And literally, with a pulsed beam system, and especially if you have all receivers triggered to receive, you're going to create mass actions, individual atrocities, and ones will not even know what they did when they come out. It will be like, I didn't do it, I watched it, I experienced it, I couldn't stop it, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't. And this was more massive. It began in the Korean War, and then it was more massive because, you see, you had a societal structure of mind control in the ones who went into the war. And you were just a great big experiment. They also gave you drugs. And you're still reaping. Your children who were in that as the victims, and those precious ones in Vietnam who never knew cancer or dying from the defoliants poured on that place. And the soul cannot bear that responsibility. It rebels, it pukes it up. And this was, you know, one of the most heinous of all American efforts to totally control. John, would you like to add to that? Because it really is important. And there are a bunch of you out there.
Well, first of all, the war was designed not to be won. That's the number one premise from which we've got to start. The war was Vietnam was a rat hole down which the lives of 55,000 men were poured, plus billions and billions of dollars. And one of the strategic objectives of the Vietnam War was to keep the money from going into space exploration, which it was intended for. It was also one vast mass experiment of mind control, psychological warfare. There were experiments carried out in the Vietnam War which even today people with a lot of experience in these things cannot understand exactly how they were done. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Jacob's Ladder. That is one of the most factual, most clear demonstrations of what was done to our men in Vietnam. Now they were turned around and given a drug which made them attack their fellow soldiers. They saw these soldiers as the enemy coming at them, and they began to kill each other. And this didn't happen once, it happened hundreds of times. That was one experiment. Another experiment was used from long distance mind control, mind interference beams being beamed against these men, which would cause them to do the weirdest things. Some of them would sit down in the middle of a battle and think they were having a, back in the days when they were having a Sunday school picnic or a 4th of July picnic. And these Vietnamese soldiers would just overrun positions. There were beams beamed down from aircraft, command aircraft centers overhead, beamed against our own soldiers to so confuse them that they wouldn't know from which direction the enemy was coming, and they'd all get killed. So the thrust of the Vietnam War was first of all to consume millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars intended for space exploration, developing our knowledge of space. The second thing was to induce drug usage in our forces, and I'll come to that in a moment. The third thing was to conduct vast experiments on captive audiences. Our soldiers were captive audiences, and this was begun by Major General John Rawlings Rees, and his first experiments with Tavistock were carried out where he had 80,000 British soldiers under this type of control. And what the Vietnam War was, the psychological warfare practiced on our own people, was simply an extension of the experiments carried out by Major General John Rawlings Rees at the Tavistock Institute, where 80,000 British soldiers were used as guinea pigs for this very type of experiment, which they then refined, which the CIA took up and continued. In this situation of desperation, many of the soldiers turned to drugs. And Chow En Lai, in a conversation with Gamal Abdel Nasser in Egypt, which was reported by the Al-Ahram Egyptian newspaper, a very, very reliable journal, Chow En Lai said, "We are doing to the Americans what the British did to us in the days of the British East India Company, where they turned our people into a nation of drug addicts. We are going to turn the American nation into a drug agent, to a drug situation, where they become totally addicted to it. And we are going to use your soldiers in Vietnam to be the vehicle to carry this disease back to America." Pardon me. And those are the threefold aspects of the Vietnam War. Thank you.
You also have a situation in play here where, while you were busy, preoccupied in that war, Russia never slowed up one iota. And they surpassed you in space, and there is nothing that you have that can match anything that they have. And that's what keeps your world in one piece at this particular time. This is why they are talking right now about going to war against Space Command. What they really mean is they're going to, they think they've got some sophisticated enough equipment to go to war against those cosmospheres. They don't. But they're right out there ready to do it any moment. That probably is the most important war pending at this very moment. Because when they decide, when this elite bunch decides to attack the cosmospheres, you see, they are not under the command of this elite bunch of Yeltsin nitwits. I don't know anything nice to call this energy. And be very, very careful. Yeltsin is coming to the United States, and a very major, major operation is planned while he's out of the country. I'm not at liberty, neither is John, to even share with you even the beginnings of what is known. The point is not to bring down the house upon your head. The point is to allow you enough insight to realize that these things are happening, that they did happen, so that you can understand enough. You are not victims to them unless you choose to be. This is why knowledge and enlightenment, awakening the people, will put a stop to it. They cannot manipulate you if you know they're trying, because you will know how to counter it. It's the most unhappy, incredibly miserable planet in all of the universe that I travel. You've heard ones describe it in the spiritual communities as being dark. It is absolutely one of the most incredibly gifted and beautiful places ever created. And it radiates practically no light. Well, I want to tell you, your sister planet does, and that's where you are. But you have to make that transition. You have to make that transition. The place is ready and waiting, and it is absolutely incredible. You can go back to the Garden of Eden in perception, or you can go back to the cave. That's man's choice. And you've made your choice. All you want to know is what to do. And then again, I have to say, let it unfold. Let it unfold. It's not for everyone to hear. And some who come and just offer their hand have made their contribution.
What is our sister planet?
I'm not going to go into it, John.
I never heard that referred to.
Well, you've heard of parallel planet. Of
yeah,
course
but
you
I
have.
Thought it was somebody's big story.
God never leaves it unattended. You see, there I've talked about migrations. These are the things I get lonely to speak about. I don't want to talk about war. I don't want to talk about gray aliens. I don't want to talk about Yeltsin. I hate talking about Bush. These are negative discussions. And yet, that's like saying, I have a business and I'm not selling anything. What's wrong? And then refusing to look. You have to know what's wrong. You were told when God left the place that a place would be prepared. A place is prepared. And you're back to make this transition because man is blind. And God always gives opportunity for final choices. And that's not your business. If you do your job, that's all that's expected. If the word is available, you cannot cram it down another's throat. You will only make him angry and he will back off, and then you have lost him really. And on that, you might bear a little guilty conscience. So let it go. A remnant will go through. You have to do something while you're waiting to serve at the light post on eviction day. So you must continue in your action wherever you see capability of acting. But you must be patient, lest you push the river and it only overflows its bounds and floods and slows. Allow it to unfold. If you ask with sincerity from within, it will unfold. It may not seem like it. But Terry and Cindy are here. That's a step, isn't it? That's a step. And the rest will be clear.
Can I add one small thing to the Vietnam saga? When the Committee of 300 felt the experiments weren't completed and they needed to go on, Ho Chi Minh was actually dying of a heart problem. The United States of America, through the CIA, sent three of the top American heart specialists to Vietnam, and they prolonged this man's life by, I don't know how many years, probably 10 years, maybe more. That's the kind of duplicity that has enveloped this nation. We actually kept this
this evil creature alive for years after he should have been dead. That's why today, when you see pictures of these men going to the memorial in Washington, and you see some of them weeping uncontrollably, they are not only weeping about their comrades in arms who they saw shot to pieces. And believe me, these things stay on your mind forever. They're also weeping because they've come to the realization that they were hoodwinked. That many of them were used as pawns in the game, as dupes. And that shocking realization that they were betrayed by their own country and used in such a despicable manner causes such an agony of soul that these men stand there openly weeping at this wall of, which is a monument to the dead, but actually a wall of shame for what has been done to this country through the Committee of 300. Thank you.
John, can I ask you a question on that? Did they mess with our memory so that we can't even
be sure
that our memories of our experiences
are accurate?
That's exactly
what they did. Now, in Jacob's letter, which, by the way, was taken from confidential CIA documents that were obtained under the Freedom of Information Act, and even though they were heavily blacked out, the man who did that movie, he kept on having flashes of what had really happened to him. And he couldn't believe it. He was having nightmares all night long and all day long. He lived a living nightmare for 6 months. Until he went to a psychiatrist and said, look, I'm really at my wit's end. What shall I do about this? And the psychiatrist listened to him. And the first thing he did was phone the Defense Department, because he was one of those people who'd been in this experiment. And he said, this man is breaking free from what we've conditioned him to believe, and he's beginning to come to the reality of what actually happened. They sent a whole team of people to try and kill him.
Oh, oh no!
Is that like that movie, Total Recall?
Well, I haven't seen that, but I would advise anybody who really wants to see what happened in Vietnam to see Jacob's Ladder. Jacob's Ladder is like the Kennedy movie. It is extremely factual.
Excuse me, where did McNamara fit in on that picture?
Well, McNamara was always a tool of the one world government. McNamara is a Satanist, a Luciferian. He ran the Luciferian Trust, which was an organization for demon worship, and that was set up in a Christian church called the Church of St. John the Divine, run by Bishop Paul Moore on Long Island in New York.
I went to school with him. That's why I'm trying to find out.
When they were uncovered, when people like myself and others expose this racket, they very quickly changed the name from the Luciferian Trust to the Lucius Trust.
Yeah, the Lucius Trust.
Right. But originally it was the Luciferian Trust.
Thank you.
Let me suggest something. You see, each one of you have had your own experiences, and we talk about a specific group, a specific war, a specific experiment. Ones coming out of a war are no different